So we move on to the corporate reports for information and noting. I recommend to members that the first two we take individually, and maybe the third three, sorry, the last three might be taken together. But first of all, the sports lighting audit. It is just a factual report, but I thought members might have questions. Who would like to just move that for a start? Councillor Hull, you're moving to note the report?
Yeah, I would, but I would like to ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is an important one, and something I pushed for a while was LED, not LED, having more efficient lighting with what's the it is LED lighting, and I'm really chuffed that that's been picked up by the administration and that's the new norm. So going forward, Mr. Mayor, my question is, how do we actually present as a structured proposal for each budget, ways of actually slowly working our way through the list of various sporting facilities that would benefit from having more efficient lighting. That many of them are actually, as you know, below par, below an acceptable standard.
Well, Councillor Hull, I think that would refer to the list towards the back of the report. For information for you, perhaps one of the managers, would you like to assist? Mr. Harrison,
Certainly, through the
Hines.
chair. Once again, page 264. If I can just direct members to there is a next steps approach for 22-23, and obviously, I think the table you may have been referring to, Mayor, 265, it relates to the recent order in relation to the state of play and the outstanding ones that will be considered for addressing to improve those as well. So, certainly, I think the intention of council is to have a whole council approach to upgrading the efficiency of lighting through LED, as Councillor Hull has suggested, we should be going down that path. So there is a next steps 22-23 supported by the current audit process as well.
So, in short, answer to your question, Councillor Hull is on the third and fourth page of the report in front of you. Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, in terms of 2022, I would agree that that is exactly what I'm looking for, but for 2023, there's no detail.
Well, that's because we haven't discussed it yet. It hasn't been brought to us yet, but clearly it's on the agenda to be done. So, really, I think the answer is as far as it goes in the report.
If I can,
Did you have
the Chair, it's incorporate 23 there is please incorporate lighting project upgrades into the Council's long-term capital renewal plan, which is currently being worked on at the moment. So we will certainly look to incorporate that detail for all councillors, including Council Hull. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Councillor Hull? It's been moved. Councillor Telford, were you seconding or you had a question? Yes, so you're seconding. Did you wish to speak to it at all? No. Then any other questions? Then simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand, please. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we're on to the Glandore Oval cricket nets and rose garden, and it's already been raised to some extent. And perhaps I can kick off the question. It's been raised prior to the meeting, but members were surprised. I think one can see that from the earlier comments that a project has a specified budget from the council, and then managers come back with a report with a recommendation that we simply note that additional money has been budgeted, even though it wasn't approved by council. So, just to sort of cut short some of the discussion, could that be explained right at the outset, please? Who would like to take that one? Mr. Lyons.
Through the chair, look, I'm being very transparent about this, and we've documented that in the report. We did have an approved recommended sum to spend. Late last year, we became aware that we would need to spend quite a bit more, and staff determined, rightly or wrongly, I suspect in hindsight wrongly, but that's water under the bridge, that we could fund that internally and do it as best we could. It was staff's understanding that council wanted to progress this project. when we became aware that there would be further expenditure required this year, we have brought that back to a council meeting. To be honest, I suspect it makes little difference whether it was for decision or for noting. The outcome is we want your support. You don't have to note it. You could actually resolve to reject it or put some other recommendation there. But we have brought it back to council for, I guess, tacit endorsement that we need the extra funds.
So the money, the additional money hasn't been spent yet. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Lyons?
Correct.
All right. And if council merely notes the report, doesn't the governance question arise that no additional funds have been allocated to the project and therefore shouldn't be spent?
Through the chair, if you're noting our intention to spend that money, then we would see that as endorsement of that way forward. You are, of course, able to not note it or to resolve otherwise.
Well, Ms. McKenzie, your advice is that is noting the report an appropriate motion if the intention is to allocate further funding to a project?
My recommendation would be to put it within the resolution to make, be very clear that council is endorsing the extra money to be spent.
Right. Yep. These are all discussions that are very useful to occur before this evening. So let's take questions from elected members. Councillor Masika, take you first.
Thank you, Your Worship. Mine is not a question, but I want to let all other councillors, fellow councillors, to know that we've received so many emails from the resident, appreciating for the council taking that step of building up those nets and also making up the rose garden. So I understand that the residents have already put their faith on the council to complete that project. And it's my wish, and also I believe it's such as wish as a fellow councillor, to see that the extra money which is being asked, being granted. So I want to brief you that we've received so many feedback from the community, which not everyone has got those feedback, but the ward councillors have received the feedback.
Councillor Masika, as I would help any councillor with an appropriate motion, it sounds like you want to move, and I'll come back to the other councillors with their questions before we go too far into this. But if you want to move that an additional $229,500 be allocated to the Glendore Oval Cricket Nets and Rose Garden project, then you could do that now.
Thanks to your worship. I'd like to do it now, as Tony said. The project has already been started. Whether you're driving on South Road, you'll see that the work has already started. And the resident, the ratepayers, they're expecting that the work will be completed and the residents can be able to use up the rose garden, and those cricketers, they can be able to use the cricket nets. So it will be a very way forward for us as a general council to approve the $229,500 to be spent as extra from what we approved last year. And I would like to put a motion that this general council to endorse the extra $229,500 to complete the job which has already been started at Glendore Oval.
Were you happy with the way that the mayor put those words?
Absolutely. I'm quite happy, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And I'm checking Ms. Moritz has those words.
Point of order.
I'll come back to you, Councillor Hull, with a point of order. Ms. Moritz, do you have those words recorded? Yeah. Allocated to the... Yep, okay, that'll do. Now, the motion will allow us as a group to appropriately test whether we want to do that or not. The motion to note the report did not provide that test or guidance. Councillor Hull, you had a point of order.
I have two points of order. One is that from a procedural basis, You made it clear to us that we're asking questions. Now you've actually entertained a motion. And I have a second point of order.
Let's just deal with that. The chair has a flexibility. Councillor Masika, I listened to see if there was a question arising. When it became evident what the council's intention was, I assisted the whole meeting with some progress in relation to the motion. So there's no point of order. What's your other one?
Well, Councillor Masika clearly said $239,500. He's added an extra $10,000.
Ms. Moritz, order, Councillor Hull, we'll just check that. Ms. Moritz, you've got $229,500?
Through the chair, that's correct.
So there's no point of order there. It was shown on the screen, Councillor Hull. Now, I'm going to ask if the motion is seconded, and then I'm going to go to questions. Councillor Mason, you're seconding the motion. Did you wish to speak? Now, members, do you have any questions? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. If we move this back to an unfunded project, what's happening with the work that sounds like it's already underway?
Mr. Lyons?
Yeah, Councillor Crossland has nailed that. There are, in fact, two contracts here, and I must confirm that one of them has been let, the larger one for the nets, and the second one for the Rose Garden itself has not been let and has not gone out to tender yet.
Other questions? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I asked a question before, and it's more important now than ever. Where is this money coming from?
Let's just get an answer to that one. So to the management, when the decision was taken to spend the extra $229,500, where was that drawn from?
Mr. Barnwell will need to take that.
Yep. Mr. Barnwell.
Thank you, through the chair. We got a request for a budget review adjustment for the 229. We were told and understood from the team that they would have capacity within their existing budget. They forecast they would be able to identify savings within their existing budget, which is always our point of call. If we want to fund things, we would like to fund them within existing budgets if possible before asking for additional money. So we were told that, and they're seeking to fund this from within existing budgets in the land and property area.
The chair just wants to clarify that answer. Is the suggestion, Mr. Barnwell, that no other project is being sacrificed in any way as a result of moving this money to this project?
Correct. The team are identifying savings within the existing budget to actually fund this project.
All right. I'll carry on with questions. Councillor Gard. Can't hear you, Councillor Gard. Has he gone? He's gone. Councillor Pryor.
I'd like to just get this all lined up in my mind. So we authorised a certain amount of money to be spent on a contract, and then we went out to market, and the contract price came back at well above what we'd authorised. And so from there, we proceeded with the contract. Anyway, is that right?
Mr. Lyons?
Yeah, that's correct. So we did have an authorised amount of money for the project. We went out, and as the agenda on page 266 says, the approved tender for the project was $485,000, which is $155,000 above what we had allocated in the budget. And then during the phases of discussions with the successful tenderer, additional works and variations have arisen, which further increase it by $44,500. And we have determined that we must bring it back to council, given that we've got these further works. I accept the member's comment that it should have come back earlier. That's fine.
Indeed. Councillor Pryor, anything further?
No, that's probably enough, I think, from me. I think that we may hear more about this sort of thing later in the piece, maybe.
Yeah, as I say, I think when we get to that budget discussion, it's as good as we've got an hour set aside. It's as good a time as any to ask this question, because the trouble is, from a board's point of view, that there's no stop line evident to us. So, all right, this is a third of $1 million project. But what happens when there's a $3 million project and council staff say, well, all right, we've gone and spent $4 million on it. Sorry, we should have told you. There's a point there where it becomes a serious issue. So we do have to get this right, but we won't thrash out the whole thing tonight. We've got a certain element, unfortunately, of fait accompli that we are dealing with, but that doesn't mean that our voting on the motion is a foregone conclusion. Councillor Pryor, still with you, then I'll go to Councillor Gard.
Yeah, like, I think the thing that bothers me the most is the principle of this. Like, I mean, if we're budgeting such that we can find this money in our existing budgets, then I don't know why we can do that. We're probably not budgeting as well as I'd think we were. So, and you know, I guess it becomes incumbent on council, the council staff, to come back with a more accurate costing in the future if that's the way we're going to go. I don't know how this whole process goes from a process point of view. I think it's a bit flawed.
Yeah, I think there's a developing consensus around that. Now, Councillor Gard, you had a question.
Yes, I do. I'm just wondering if this example might stimulate, if it hasn't already, some preparation in the process of the budget for the coming year to do some marketplace surveying of what sort of factors we're facing in contractual increases, because they are probably going to be endemic, to use a phrase that's common at the moment. And I think it would be foolish to assume that what we see yesterday is what we're going to be experiencing tomorrow.
There was some valuable commentary on that topic at the last forum when the procurement question was raised. And the conversation will continue, I'm sure. So, Councillor Bălescu, did you have one?
Yeah, on similar lines, I guess, you know, what was the possible anticipation of this being the cost when the original motion was brought to council? That's my first question. I do have a second one, but I won't ask it yet until I get the answer.
All right. So how did the original estimate come so far off, Mr. Lyons?
I'm going to need in a second, Ms. V. Hiltonetti, to add some more detail. I get that it's a lot off the original one, but we've seen that in the last 12 months. We've seen procurement issues. We've seen COVID delays. We've seen pricing that has just doubled on certain contracts. This is a specialist contract. We did find that when we went out to tender, there was only a small pool of contractors that actually tendered for it. It was competitively tendered, and this was the best price that came in. Ms. Vialtonetti, are you able to add anything on top of that?
Thank you for the question. For the Chair, yeah, what Tony just Mr. Lyons outlined is correct. It is a specialty contract. When we went out, we were expecting some interstate competitors, but unfortunately with COVID, that resulted in a limited pool of contractors that tendered for the works.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I haven't actually heard anything that we didn't know at the outset of the project, but... Okay, Councillor Crossland.
No, I had another question, sorry, Your Worship.
Oh, Councillor Bălescu, then Councillor Crossland.
And my other question is, there's probably a few things in the pipeline that Council would like to see. We've already approved, or, you know, there appears to be broad support. What are we doing to make sure that there is enough funding available, especially if we've allocated an amount which might go up, but also to adjust some of the funding for some of the projects that are, you know, still... yet to have more detailed costings?
I mean, short answer is that's why we get costing experts on our major projects before final approval. But Mr. Harrison or Mr. Lyons, you've got this one?
No, look, absolutely. As Mr. Lyons has said, the significant improvement that could have and should have happened with this particular situation was that when the approved budget was exceeded by $155,000 for the good and proper reasons which have been outlined, in the 1 in 100 year difficulty of trying to estimate projects of this nature, That should have come through EBC. It didn't. And then it should have come back through council, would have been my recommendation, for amount of $155,000. At that point there, if it was supported by council to progress, we would have done so. The variations highlighted, which has increased the price from the 485 through to the 609, inclusive of the Rose Garden, have come from probably variations that no matter what we had done, we would not have picked up some of those extra costs for removing and disposal of the second and third layer of bitumen under the netball courts. But it is recognised, and I accept, that it should not have happened and hopefully will not happen, where an amount of money is approved by council and there is, as I said earlier on, a material amount of money over and above what was approved, and I think $155,000 is, that at that point then should have gone through EBC for consideration and a recommendation. And that amount I would have brought back through council to get the endorsement before we proceeded with signing the contract.
Thank you. And EBC, Expenditure Budget Committee or something?
Executive Budget Committee, which has the ELC, yeah. Yep.
Right, thank you. Just checking on the acronyms. Right, Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, mine's a sort of a repeat question because I don't think Councillor Hall's question was answered. We've been told that no other project and no other building has lost out. So the question is, if no other building maintenance budget suffered as a result of this money being taken out of the pot, how was so much money spare in that budget? Because the way we're supposed to do our budget is everything is itemised and where it's going. So I don't see how this money was just spare. It doesn't make sense.
Mr. Barnwell? Or no, Mr. Harrison wants to take it. Yes.
Please, if I can first. We operate about a $100 million budget a year with some fixed costs, significant discretionary costs and variable costs as well. Without having my calculator, the $155,000, I'm guessing, which is a substantial amount of money, would be 0.01% of our budget from a variation perspective. Budgeting is always difficult. I've had budgets of up to $4 billion and I've had budgets of $50 million over the last 10 years. And there is always millions of dollars of variations come the 3rd of June each year. And if anything, from my experience in the last 10 or 12 years in various very large organisations, the budget at Marion is pretty tight, fairly accountable, and there's always going to be some variations, ups and downs. Hence, I brought in the EBC process, which didn't exist before I arrived. And hence, we're still improving that process and trying to educate the culture of ELT, SLT and line managers that it is a must, not an option, to have to provide advice if you are looking to spend money outside of budget allocations. This one should have gone through that process from the outset. We are improving EBC protocols on a monthly basis, and we're now getting reports on a monthly basis where people are seeking consideration and approval for variations to budget loading, which has occurred in the pre-budget process. But all budgets of $100 million are going to have swings and merry-go-rounds, ups and downs. We have to ensure that we have very, very rigid, tight financial management principles and protocols built into those. So the Board of Governance, yourselves, have that visibility and delegated approval process to ensure that good governance and approvals are in place for these amounts of money.
Councillors, we're getting to the point of thrashing the issue to death, especially given we're going to have the opportunity for a free-form discussion in a forum quite soon, within weeks. I think that the questions so far have offered healthy guidance to management. So really, unless we're turning up something new, I think that's probably about the end of the questions. But Councillor Crossland, you had one more, final one? No? Councillor Hull, how many questions has Councillor Hull asked, Ms. McKenzie? Two? You've got one more. Go ahead. You haven't spoken in the debate, have you? No. Okay, no. Go ahead.
Can I speak in the debate?
You've sorry, the questions have been going on for so long, it is difficult to keep track. But you have the right to a question. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was simply asking if I could
speak. You want to speak in the debate? Yes, it's been moved and seconded. Anyone against? Councillor Hull, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to speak against this. I'm drawing the line in the sand. I refute with gusto Mr. Harrison's explanation for this. Not only this debacle, but all the others we're dealing with tonight that I can't talk about right now. So, you know, please don't try and make this as a minor matter. I really am disappointed in our CEO for his attitude with this particular item in terms
point
of
fiscal, order.
Fiscal management.
Point of order. Order. A point of order from Councillor Bilescu.
I think that's disparaging of the CEO, the way that comment was made, disparaging of our only staff member.
Well, you mean the only one we employ. Councillor Bilescu, I'm not going to uphold the point of order, but I'm listening carefully. Councillor Hull, please try and make your point, which you're very welcome to make, without being disparaging of any individual. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, this project has been a public relations, a community consultation, and now a budgetary disaster for this council. And I'm drawing the line in the sand. I've had enough. I have my tolerance to this is now passed. On behalf of the ratepayers that I represent, I object to the way that this project's been managed. I haven't seen any logical explanation, despite Councillor Pryor and Councillor Crossan saying, where is this money coming from? Why do we have this money? Like, it's like some sort of slush fund. We shouldn't be operating like that, Mr. Mayor. Like Councillor Pryor and Councillor Crossan are spot on. You know, we should be running a tighter ship than this. And what about all the other variables that I can't talk about tonight in the other items that we'll get to later? Like, no, this is totally unacceptable. Our procurement department needs to be looked at. If contractors actually take up a tender with us, that's it. Don't come back to us and think that they're going to actually drag the ratepayers' money out of their pockets because they think we're a soft touch. This is the line that I'm drawing, Mr. Mayor. It's a very important one, and I'm doing it with gusto.
Thank you. There's still probably no need to yell, which I do sometimes when members are out of order, but still. Ms. McKenzie, I'm relying on you to keep time this evening or someone in your area. Thank you. Now, we've had speakers for and against. Anyone else for the motion? Councillor Bilescu.
Well, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think the way that this has come to us hasn't been ideal, and I understand that. I think it's going to be something that's going to be more frequent, especially with the tenders that are coming up and ones that have been costed, pre the new expenses that have come as a result of the COVID issues. I'd like to reiterate that I do actually have confidence in the CEO. He has significant experience with running organisations, experience that I guess none of us in the chamber, the elected members would come close to, although there are valuable experiences that the people in the chamber do bring. I think that I'd like this project to move on. And I'd have the same attitude as far as anything that comes up in other areas as well. So, we're looking at things like there are other projects in other wards, south, more in the north. And I'd take the same attitude if we need more money because contractors are actually demanding more and we want to get things done, then we look at it. If there aren't any options, we fund it. I just think that that's something that we need to do. And we have had a few that have come back with extra funding as well. Even the Hallett Cove Library, we will end up having an extra $1.2 or $1.4 million for that because there were extra costs and we had to fund it. So,
thank you. And I think all members can make the distinction between, on the one hand, an amount that comes in over tender and an amount that staff are allocating without council approval. They're two different issues there in a way. But thank you, Councillor Bilescu. And there's another speaker against, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I sort of half made my point. Yeah, this is not about what projects needing more money. This is about staff keep spending money and then asking for forgiveness. And you've got to take a stand to it, because we are delaying Avenue, where we even had an independent review that said, although that they have permission to do it, it should have come back to council. We've had the BMX, now we've had this. How many others are there? I think unless we put this in writing that it's not good enough, we don't approve it. We're just going to keep getting these forgiveness requests.
Others in favour? If Councillor Gard. You're on.
Your Worship, this is a very difficult one. I think our track record in public with this subject leaves a lot to be desired. We don't want to obliterate our position any further to that sector of our public. I think the best way we can learn from this is to learn from it. Now, the conditions in the marketplace are clearly terrible from the point of view of managers trying to manage. I have a fair bit of forgiveness as far as that is concerned. I wouldn't like to, and I would correct Councillor Vilescu that I actually did have two very senior positions that would be comparable with our CEO's current position. And I speak from that knowledge. I feel that these are extraordinary, I quote the CEO, 1 in 100 year situations that we're facing. But yes, my earlier comment is that we obviously need to study the marketplace very clearly in the light of the extreme outcome of this particular budget item. But certainly I'm not in favour of disadvantaging the people of Glandore and the vicinities any further than we already have, or to disturb their view of us.
Thank you. Any other speakers against? Mr. Lyons, well, not normally meant to be in the debate, but would you like to respond to some of those points?
I'm not going to speak against, my apologies, but if I could just have 30 seconds. I'm a little bit new in the...
If it's new information, Mr. Lyons.
Through the chair, I was going to remind members that we do have a let contract for the vast majority of the works. There are $50,000 unspent.
Point of order.
A point of order from Councillor Hull.
It's a dangerous precedent to allow staff to engage in the debate at this point, Mr. Mayor.
I'm going to uphold the point of order. Mr. Lyons is just raising an issue that's already been mentioned, and staff shouldn't be entering into debate once it's underway, unless there's a factual correction that needs to be made. Generally speaking, there might always be exceptions. So are there any other speakers against? Then if not, it's for Councillor Masika to close the debate.
Thanks, Your Worship, for another opportunity. I would like to bring it to my fellow councillors that the issue which we are facing at Glandore is a very unique one. And it's unfortunately how the issue has come back to us. We hope we should have come sooner. But we all know that we are just doing business in an unprecedented era, which we have never seen in 100 years ago. And it's not only Marion Council, across the government, across the business sector, across the local government, they are struggling with the projects. You can't have one budget fitting throughout the budget, the project life. There are so many variations coming on board. It's because of supply issues, because of manpower issues, because of everything. So we needed to understand that. And also, we'll have opportunity ahead of us to discuss how should we avoid to be at risk in the next coming projects. So for the time being, I would like you to consider this motion to finish up the work which we've started. The people of Glandore, they've appreciated what the work is currently going there, and it's almost going to finish. So it's only $229,500 required. And I appeal to you all, if you can vote in favor for that money to be spent. And then there will be opportunity down the track to see how we can avoid coming to such other cases like this one. And finally, I want to say, I have, as a ward councillor, I have a very good, excellent confidence with the CEO and in the administration. But we are dealing in those areas which we have never seen before. And it will make us fighting against each other, but eventually things will pass and we'll move on. I appeal for you to vote in favour of the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Masika. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion's carried. So we can move on.
Call a division, please.
Councillor Crossman, a division. So all those in favour, raise your hand, please. Councillors Telfer, Mason, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Clancy, Schilling and Duncan. You may put your hands down. Those against, please raise your hands.
Correction.
I beg your pardon, Councillor Gard. Did I miss you out?
Yes.
You're in the affirmative.
Yes.
Let it be recorded. Thank you. Those against, please raise your hand. Councillor Crossland, Councillor Hull, that's it. So that is carried by majority. And at least that way we are completing the project, which we at one point recently thought was worthwhile. And as far as the management processes are concerned, we will have further discussions, I'm sure. So would someone like to move on block the finance report, work health and safety and questions taken on notice register? Councillor Telfer, move that way. And Councillor Schilling, seconding. Well done. No commentary, but there is the opportunity to ask questions on any of those matters. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'll come back to the road seal issue again on page 274. We're well below our projection in terms of getting our road reseal program completed. Now, I asked this question, and the question I asked before, in the face of Matthew Allen and others coming to us last year and saying, oh, look, do you think we can cut down, and that happened 2 years in a row, by the way, can we cut down on road reseals? So the elected members actually thought about it and said, no, we would like to see our roads maintained at a particular standard. And we didn't agree with the reduction, but it's happening anyway.
So, Mr. Allen, would you be the best person to respond? Is he here? Yes, he is.
Through the chair, I think we've referred to this earlier in the council meeting, just about some of those items that we're not going to continue with, particularly the Cove Road. It's a quite a significant project, long length, but it's not appropriate to reseal.
So, Mr. Allen, obviously the Councillor Hull's referring to a graph where there's underspending, significant underspending against budget. Do we assume that that's the blue line of actual spending is more or less consistent and they will end up with, what, I don't know, 40%, 60% of the budget in that area? Do we know?
So through the chair, we've been working closely with our contractor down at EDI to ensure that the program is completed by the 30th of June, and that will align to the projections with expenditure. So I'm not expecting that there'll be any sort of 40 or 60% expenditure spent. I'm expecting 100%.
Right. So if there are roads taken off, does that mean there are other roads being put on the list?
Through the chair, there are a number of roads that we're considering to put on. There's one in Morfordville called Baker Street. We also are considering the reseal of the Boatshed Cafe. However, we spoke about this at the Coastal Ward briefing, and the timing of that should be undertaken after the building upgrade.
Right. So, Councillor Hull, I think that does go some way to answering the question. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the other thing is the timing of this. As we head further into the financial year, we move into our wettest months. And that applies not only to road resales, but also to our new footpaths and our curb and water table. all of our major engineering works are going to be done in the mud. And I ask this question quite often, but in terms of the road resill, the bulk of the work is going to be done in our wettest months. And as we all know, with laying bitumen, particularly with the confidential item coming up, laying bitumen in wet weather is problematic.
So all right, Councillor Hull, I think we get the question. So is Mr. Alanoi headed for the usual sort of local government pattern of expenditure where a huge chunk comes in the last quarter of the financial year? Mr. Allen.
Through the chair, there are a number of projects that have gone out to tender, have been awarded and are about to commence. So there is a real spike in the program over the upcoming months, particularly around drainage, streetscapes, and including the road resill program.
Mr. Harrison has indicated that we're moving towards the planning in 1 year so that there's a smoother allocation of actual spending in the next financial year, but we haven't seen evidence of that to this point. Mr. Harrison, do you have anything to add to that?
Certainly do. We are in the legacy of what has been the traditional convention and practice of tender procurement allocation of works across local government and state government. Next year will be the first year that we will look to disrupt the tender and procurement cycles by bringing them forward by up to 6 months. So we will try and get ahead of the demand through COVID in particular, but just generally breaking the practice that all councils have been in relation to letting contracts, engaging contractors and fighting for contracts and works getting scheduled. We are in the driest state in the driest continent. I don't see any issue from the inquiries I've made, and I'm certainly not an expert in relation to the laying of bitumen, but I don't see any issue during the months of March, April and May in particular for the laying of bitumen during road reseal. And for that matter, even during the other remaining months of winter, June, July and August. So, yes, we have got a lot of work. Russ Troop, the new operations manager, is looking at redesigning a lot of the systems and the processes in relation to these sorts of routine yearly works. And I would expect next year, with the disruption approach we're taking, that we'll see more works done from 1 July rather than more works being sucked down from 1 January into the second half of the financial years.
Other questions? Councillor Gard.
Yes, most important question of the night. I just wonder if on page 281 in the Sundry Debtors report, if we could align the headings over each column. I suffered a little bit of a migraine trying to fathom that in reading.
Staff can just take that on board, and they might also consider printing the page landscape rather than portrait so that the font can be increased from 6-point font, please. All right. If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those three items, all those in favour, raise your hand. Against, no, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. On page 290, basketball, different motion to what we saw at the last General Council meeting. Councillor Telfer to move.
The point of order?
I will move as written.
Sorry, Councillor Telfer, I have a point of order from Councillor Dar.
Yes, did we just skip or did we move on block on the WHS monthly?
Yes, we did.
That was a long time ago, thank you.
Yeah, we have passed that boat. If you have questions, take them up after the meeting, thank you. Councillor Telfer, please proceed.
I'll move as per the recommendation that's there. I note that Council will proceed with this project subject to funding from some other source for at least $5.25 million. And that's why we're bringing up forward the basketball club, the Basketball South Panthers, have got their 1,300 members. They are out there with their core flute signs asking and lobbying the federal government for money. They're asking us to get behind this at a high level. That means that we as the tenant need to have some support and understanding for this. It also means that we understand there are other car parking solutions around the oval that can take and deal with car parking. It also means that we can show Basketball South our feasibility and business case, and that we can go to Club Marion via the mayor and the CEO. So this is orderly stepping forward. So I recommend it to you because those two indoor courts are going to be so important to the 1,300 players. And the southern catchment is taken up by the Tigers in Onkaparinga to some extent. So we look forward to those voluntary people in the basketball club that can go to the funding bodies and see if they're prepared to get some bids.
Thank you. Is the motion seconded? Councillor Masika, did you wish to speak?
Yes, with worship, I'll just repeat up a very few words which Councillor Telfer has put forward. And I know the Commonwealth Government and the state government, they're keen to listen to the grassroots about this supporting up the sports club. So it will be an ideal if we can endorse the motion tonight so that the clubs, they can start lobbying, and also the CEO and the mayor, they can be able to approach up the community and make sure that we don't miss out, because it's opportunity, golden opportunity. It doesn't come twice. We miss now, we have to wait for another 5 years and we don't know whether we'll get it, but this is the right time to hit up the feet on the ground.
Point of order.
Thank you. A point of order before we go on with the debate. Councillor Hull.
In the report, where is the motion that Councillor Crosland moved at the last meeting that we adopted tonight?
Councillor Hull, if you read the motion, you'll see that it's a different motion, and I said that at the commencement of the debate, and you can also note the comments of Ms. McKenzie on page 294, so there is no point of order.
Well,
there is no point of order, so we'll go on with the debate. I'll take a question. Councillor Hull.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mayor, in the face of not having paying any attention to the motion that we adopted tonight, moved by Councillor Crosland at the last meeting, but we're actually focusing on a motion moved by Councillor Pfeiffer and seconded by Councillor Byram. That's in the report. So, and that's going back to what year was that? 15. So I don't get it. We got a
Councillor Hull, Councillor Hull, I would say that is a point of debate if you wish to speak against the motion. Do you want to take the opportunity now?
Well, first of all, Mr. Mayor, I bring into question the judgment of Kate McKenzie in regards to ruling that this motion is in order.
Order. Councillor Hull, just stand back a second. Councillor Valeska, did you raise a point of order?
Look, I think we shouldn't be personalising this. We're saying the governance advice. I have concerns about the governance advice.
I'll uphold the point of order. There is no need to personalise the anger that's expressed, Councillor Hull. So let's just deal with it objectively. I appreciate that you don't agree with the governance advice. If you wish to take the opportunity, you can ask Ms. McKenzie a question.
Yep, and I do that, Mr. Mayor, without anger. I take exception to that in the mildest manner that I can put forward.
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
You referred to Ms. McKenzie earlier in regards to that determination, but I can't refer to her. So,
No, sorry. It's different if one is making a disparaging comment. That was the point of Councillor Valeska's point of order. So you deal with the issues.
How about we allow the manager of governance to explain to this council how she came to that determination?
All right, that's a fair question. Let's go to Ms. McKenzie on that one.
Through the chair, at the last meeting, there was nothing moved and seconded. There was an adjournment. So the item was adjourned to the meeting on the 8th. There is actually no decision or resolution of the council that had been moved and seconded that was then adjourned. So at the time, although there was a recommendation within the report, we don't have a mover and seconder on that item, which therefore allows for an item to come through because there's nothing on the table.
Councillor Hull, did you wish to actually speak in the debate? This is your opportunity if you wish to.
Mr. Mayor, going to the motion, there's a veiled reference to community consultation. I just forget how that was worded. Consideration given to. Well, what does that mean? Like, you know, the point that Councillor Crosland made at the last meeting was that was paramount, that we actually make that community consultation. The irony is that if they're out there waving call flutes around, that means that the message is out there, but we haven't actually paid the courtesy to talk to the tennis club, to talk to Club Marion, but they're out there waving call flutes around and talking to political aspirants to actually get the money. So there's something not right here. We are, I think, literally sneaking up on the surrounding community. That includes the residents in regards to their concerns about traffic management. So I just want to see the community consultation aspect of this given absolute prominence, not mentioned as consideration.
Rightio. Anyone else in favour? If not, then Councillor Crosland, you have a question, perhaps?
I've got a number of questions to Councillor Telfer.
Yeah, you've got three. Go ahead.
The first question is, she's mentioned that we are significantly short in indoor courts. My reading of the report was that we're one indoor court short, and I've seen nothing that says we are short of basketball courts. Can she just explain what she means by significantly short of indoor courts and how she's arrived at two basketball courts?
Well, I think that that is a question that has been covered by staff, and it's a factual question that Ms. Hughes could help with if she was here. Otherwise, Mr. Lyons or Mr. Hubbard might be able to assist.
Your Worship.
Yes, Councillor Crosland. Yes.
When I put motions like this, everyone fires questions at me. You never stop. And this is, I'm questioning information that has been supplied by Councillor Telfer, not staff.
But it does appear to have derived from council commentary, including the indoor facilities review, which is mentioned there. Now, Councillor Telfer can respond at the end of the debate to your satisfaction or otherwise, but Ms. Hughes is present, and I'll just ask her to comment on that factual question of shortfall of courts.
Through the Chair, thank you for your question. With regards to that, I'll have to take that on notice and speak to Mr. Hubbard, I'm afraid.
Right. Well, didn't get us much further, but Councillor Telfer can continue to answer that. Councillor Crosland, you had other questions.
I've probably still got three because that one didn't get answered.
No. It's three questions. It's not three answers. Just like State Parliament. Go ahead.
Can I just make a procedural comment then here?
Sure.
We're starting to see a lot of little procedural things happening with deferrals coming back, going from deferrals to lie on the table. Certain elected members are allowed to be questioned personally in a meeting and others are protected. I'm starting to think that there's a little bit of favouritism and integrity happening there, and I'd like the Chair to respond to that.
Well, I'll take that as a point of order. Fair enough question. The overriding consideration there is that there is a discretion in the Chair. It's a very important one to get an orderly debate, orderly series of items of business, and orderly process of information as much as possible. Obviously, it actually depends on everyone in the room for that to happen, but to the extent I can influence that productively, then I will. Now, as you've had governance advice, which sort of cuts against the imputation in the question, there isn't any lack of integrity involved, I can assure you, and I have made the offer before, I'll make it again. I'm prepared to offer help to any elected member who wishes it with any motion the drafting of it or any governance advice. So that is across the board. There is no favouritism in that respect. The one element there which I with which I share your concern, Councillor Crossland, is in respect of a certain trickiness to do with procedural motions. It would be so much better if everyone in the room just got on debating the issues. We can make decisions about the issues rather than trying indirect ways of achieving a result. But those matters become beyond my jurisdiction after a certain point. As I say, I try and get an orderly debate. We go from there. So I'm not counting that as one of your questions. It's a point of order. There is no point of order. But you go on with your second question, please.
But just to follow on, I'm concerned that this is Councillor Telfer's motion. She's given us a lot of information. I want to clarify some of that information, but you're not willing to let her answer it.
Well, but she has the opportunity, and I told elected members that in Councillor Telfer as the mover gets to reply. She may or may not answer your question, may or may not be to your satisfaction, but that's the appropriate time, in my view, in this meeting, that she can answer the question. So you're not going without. You can now ask your second question, Councillor Crossland.
Okay. The second question is that she's mentioned a review which said back in 2014 that we needed to look at a possible indoor multipurpose stadium, 4 to 8 courts. And since that time, we've obviously built two at Mitchell Park. Why is it that we're moving this motion when we've got staff strategically looking at the potential location of a 6th stadium facility within our council area?
Well, I'm not sure that we have, so there's a factual
I'll ask Ms. Hughes then.
Yes, are staff looking at a 6-court venue anywhere?
Through the chair, I'm not aware of any such movement by staff. No, we're looking at the SABC proposal that we're discussing now.
All right, Councillor Crossland.
And the last question is, and again, you can choose not to answer it, but this would be very relevant if certain people ran for state parliament. And am I right in assuming that as everyone hasn't left the room that's currently here, that's not going to happen? So this could be a conflict of interest resolution, and I have seen it really pushed hard and fast through council, which is really unusual.
Look, Councillor Crossland, we don't want to see a repeat of Councillor Spears and the Helico foreshore business. That's probably what you're alluding to. But I did ask at the beginning of the meeting whether anyone had a potential conflict of interest to declare. And no one put their hand up, whether it be the mayor or any of the councillors or any of the staff. So I think that is your answer. So now that was Ms. McKenzie. What are we up to speaking? We've had speakers against the debate. Anyone else speaking in favour, I think? Is that what I was up to? Councillor Valescu.
Yes, the issue of needing basketball courts is something that's been ongoing. Unfortunately, in the south, it is the other basketball catchment area, and I think you probably probably couldn't put anything near the sort of current sports area because of the soil. We did have the option to go for 3, possibly 4 courts at Mitchell Park. That would be multi-purpose, but would have taken a lot of the pressure. If we did go for 3, it would have also provided us with more money because we would have had more income come through. In over the long-term life of the project, I think they were looking at an extra $2 million, but we chose the 2. So, we did lock ourselves into a higher demand. I think that we do need to provide adequate sports facilities. I'd like to see more AFL in the south. I would have liked to see 4 soccer ovals in the south as well, and I don't think we will get any more than this extra 2 on that site. It's not something that I'd be comfortable with if I'm in the room for the debate, if it were to come to us. I suspect that the plan was sort of upsized to kind of get attention, but then they realized that only two is feasible. So this is a great opportunity for us to look at that demand. They're spending money already on the courts, looking at having that demand catered to and getting some money from other sources, because then that leaves us for the other areas, the other things that we can do. We've got that funding. We've got more money available for those other areas, those other needs. So I think, let's see what happens. If nothing comes our way, then that's, we move on.
All right, thank you. Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Schilling?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm going to stick with my original position of staying against this motion. I have no issues with this being on the unfunded initiative list, but as previous discussions have said, we need to find a way to rank our unfunded initiatives list. And I am going to bring up the fact that recently we all agreed that Cove was sort of the next to be done. And now this is it feels like it's being pushed over other projects and being prioritised where other projects aren't being prioritised. I expect that this club may need the extra courts. We do not know what their capacity will be once Mitchell Park comes online. We don't know if their need will change. I suspect there will still be a need, but not as much of a need as they think they may need. But also, I'm very concerned that they're advocating for funding. I have no issues with clubs advocating for funding, but we haven't fully supported this. And for us to back something that we don't have full details, we have enough details for, but we don't have everything yet. I can't put my name to that. But I'm also concerned that because this basketball falls in a marginal seat, it'll get prioritised. And I understand politics and marginal seats are the ones where all the funding goes. I understand all of that. However, it would mean that the South in particular would be particularly disadvantaged when it comes to advocating, because we are in a safe seat and will likely get very little funding for a major project that needs to be done that supports more than just one club.
Thank you. And just for information only, it is worth sharing with all members, as I've been following the Cove development closely, that the Section 48 report, I'm told, is due very soon, and I mean within weeks, and that the community consultation should be ready to go out on the preferred design, which council came up with after the initial consultation, within a week or so. So it is advancing. Thank you, Councillor Schilling. So I'm now asking if there are any other councillors speaking in favour of the motion. Councillor Gard, is that a factual question?
It is a question, but I was also wanting to speak in favour of the motion.
Well, if we're keeping to our standing orders, we've just had a speaker against, and hopefully the speakers against have encapsulated your views. So really, go on with the question, please.
Right. The question is a result of a conversation with Councillor Telfer a few days ago regarding the matter of the stage two of the stadium, which was really a hazy aspect of argument when we were considering this matter last meeting. And I feel that provided there is some life for the two courts that exist at the moment, albeit in very bad shape, provided there is some life that is left for them, and I understand that would be up to 10 years, then the funding that went aside for the repair of those courts is not all wasted. And that was what was troubling me in our last round of debate. However, in the light of the new information and the subject too, that is in point three of this motion, I feel that there is an opportunity window that's going to open and then it's going to close, and then we really could be left stuck in the mud in years to come on any additional courts, particularly if we have an unfunded situation. So the landscape changed quite a bit since we last spoke, and for that reason, I feel we need to give an opportunity to for this funding to arrive. Whether it does or not is the question.
Well, I actually find that to be speaking in favour, which is actually in order because the previous speaker spoke against. In terms of the staged approach, the council will note that the motion and almost entirely the commentary refers to two courts, no more or less. Now, we've had a speaker in favour. Is there a speaker against that hasn't spoken yet? Councillor Crossland?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, I only asked questions before. Yes. Not that they were answered, but I'm speaking against that. We're going against strategy. We have no idea what the impact of two extra courts at Mitchell Park will do for the clubs. And there are huge holes in other areas where we do need facilities. I do get that it is a big political game out there at the moment, and everyone's looking for projects in this particular area, as they've done before. But unfortunately, we sort of get caught up in that, and we end up funding all infrastructure in one small area. And to echo Councillor Schilling's comments, that's sort of not really fair on residents if we basically are only focusing on one area of council. I'd also ask members to not take any account of the email sent out by the mayor. I'm not sure whether it was what the intention of that email was, but I haven't seen anything in writing to say that there is any money offered for this project, unless someone can prove me wrong.
Thank you. Thank you for highlighting strategy. Any other speakers in favour? Then it's up to Councillor Telfer to close the debate. Thank you.
Thank you for all those points and the thoroughness with which people have thought about this and worked at it. It is a serious matter. I do take it seriously. I bring up that the section 48 for COVE is nearly done and the community consultation is going to begin. We come to you tonight to ask that we can go to do a section 48 for this. We also had a comment from somebody else about the consideration of community consultation. That was something that has been raised in the past, and we're able to bring that into the motion tonight so that we can go forward with that. So some of the undergirding and structures we can now sort out so that we can support a club that seriously wants to go and ask people whether they will fund from, presumably mainly from a federal budget, some way of helping this. The Mitchell Park courts will assist, but there'll still be great need, and there will be a change in hiring systems and ways of working so that the club can put up its $250,000 it's suggesting as partnership money, as well as the other money it's looking for. I recommend to people that they have another look at the business case on page 292, which does take up the whole issue of undersupply of courts, the ageing and the compliance of courts. So it's a big one, but it's worth doing.
Thank you. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's the motion's carried. Thank you.
A division, please.
Called by Councillor Schilling. So once again, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Keep it up, please. Councillor Telfer, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Clancy and Gard. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Those against, please raise your hands. Councillors Crossland, Hull, Schilling and Duncan, the motion's carried. Thank you. We, unless I'm mistaken, we now almost come to the end of the public part of the meeting. There are the questions of confidentiality in relation to the confidential items. Now, my estimate, it is nearly 20 past nine. My estimate of the confidential items is that there could be an hour and a half's worth of material there, based on some of the thorough questioning and points of order tonight. Might be closer to 2 hours. So I think it's, you're sort of getting into special general meeting sort of territory, I suspect. But we do have 10 minutes. We need to take a short break in any case to change over the technology. I don't know, could I ask staff if there was one item to conclude, what would be the highest priority out of those confidential items? Mr. Lyons?
Of the three items, I definitely have to select the BMX and Southern Soccer. I need the outcome of tonight to inform the contractors on their works in the next couple of weeks, and I need council support to extend the budget there.
Right. Well, I think that gives us an answer. Would someone
quickly, I don't know whether you might be able to sneak the cap one in there as well, just so that can progress to the next stage. It should be fairly simple.
They are for members to be appointed after 1st of July, aren't they? But we do have to, we have a recruitment process in between as well. All right. That just the, leaving aside the minutes, you know, one can always say that the minutes shouldn't take long, but if you're going to have 20 questions, that just compounds the difficulty. So would someone, I mean, it's up to you, members, we can stay here till midnight, but would someone like to move that we, that the remaining, I'm not sure, Ms. McKenzie, you can help me, that we go into a confidential session to deal with the Independent Council Assessment Panel members and the BMX and soccer facility items. Words to that effect. Councillor Schilling is moving that way. Thank you. Councillor Duncan seconding. So it is procedural. So just put that as a motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously, I think. So, members, by my computer, it's 9:20. I suggest that we have a three-minute break, four at the most. So we leave this meeting. Sorry, there is one more thing. We just need the cover reports to be dealt with in relation to those two issues. Now, in relation, that is the decision whether to go into confidence on those issues or not, which itself is a public question. So with the Council Assessment Panel members, we customarily go into confidence because we're, again, assessing the merits of individuals potentially, and there is ground in the under Local Government Act in that regard. As Mr. Lyons has outlined, no pun intended at all, with the major project up on Majors Road, there are continuing negotiations with contractors. So the commercial in confidence provisions of the Local Government Act would seem to apply fairly clearly. Councillor Hull, do you want to ask a question at this point, or is it a matter of debate? Oh, you'll need to unmute, please.
Yeah, the question is, in terms of the remuneration to the panel members, why has that got to be confidential?
Well, it's not just about that. It's about, I mean, we put a report into confidence if there's a substantial part of it that deals with confidential matters. Ms. McKenzie, do you want to add anything to that?
Oh, that's correct. You know, that can certainly be released at the conclusion of the item. It's just that the substantial part of the report would be confidential why it was debated.
Well, if we can be mindful of that, that'd be great.
I'm expecting the minutes will, you know, come out reasonably soon into the open, which would, and I only say that because that's our usual process. So would someone like to move that those two items be dealt with in confidence? Thank you, Councillor Schilling. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So that concludes the public part of the meeting. It's now 9:22. Let's come back at about 9:25. Give us a short break, and you'll have to log on to the next meeting. Thank you.